Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcher.
We're back.
We're back with some more chatty talking.
Games have been played.
Indeed.
New games have been played as well.
Oh, damn it. I was almost 3 for 3.
Yeah. No, I've been playing brand new games.
So. I've been playing exactly the same games I usually play, but there's more to talk about on them, so I will.
I think there's probably a topic in there, Wanwick.
What? About my repetitive nature?
Yeah, about the way that some people are quite happy to play the same game repeatedly and other people get bored of that.
I could talk extensively about that.
Yeah, but let's not do that yet. We'll do that if we run out of stuff to talk about.
Fair enough.
Have I just let people see behind the curtain how this thing works?
Smoke and mirrors, yeah. Look at that.
We're winging it.
I think they know that by now,
there's
to
no
be
script.
Honest. He's giving away all our trade secrets. I'm going to start with some talking. I'm going to talk about Star Trek Online. Yes, that is still going.
I know that's still going.
It's been going for 6 years, apparently. It is the big sixth anniversary stuff's going on.
And what do I get?
Yay, there was much rejoicing. Oh, you got loads of stuff, but you failed to log in to claim any of it. All this week, they've been having daily login rewards of varying degrees of interestingness. Like one day it was 2 specialization points for free, which is not bad because that's basically the other way you earn those is by doing level 60 again.
What's a specialization mission?
That's your sort of post end game character advancement where there's trees and you can spend points to gain extra abilities. You probably don't care about that. You missed the opportunity to be given the slightly open shirt jackets in the tailor for free.
Did it have a medallion?
No medallion, no.
Don't care.
No. Ordinarily, those are 600 Zen points.
Yeah, I dread to think how much...
And it's not even anything particularly salacious either. It is literally about 3 inches worth of unzipped top of jacket for 600 Zen points, you know. So they gave that away for free to everyone during the week, so why not?
Yeah. So is everyone dressed identically now?
No. I've seen a lot more relaxed, loose and casual clothing this week, though, so I think a lot of people went for that. One day it was 20,000 dilithium fleet voucher, which essentially is dilithium that you can only spend on fleet projects for your massive, stupid, grindy starbase, and we all found that very helpful indeed.
It's a gift card.
It's a gift card that you can only spend advancing your fleet's starbase.
It's a gift card for starbases.
Yes, basically.
This exists in the Star Trek universe. This is canon, is it?
Yeah, as canon as energy credits, yes. Oh my God, it's a utopian future where there isn't money. How the hell are we going to run an auction house and an economy? Energy credits. Did that actually turn up in some dull Enterprise episode I never saw?
Sort of turned up in Voyager, but that's when they had no energy.
Yeah, that's when they were a single spaceship with depleting resources.
They were having to ration the use of the replicator.
Yes, fair enough. And there was one day, there was two universal tech upgrade components. This is the thing they added a while back where if you've got some super spanky top-end gear and then they do an expansion on you and all your gear's now rubbish, you can actually upgrade to that gear so that you can actually keep that gear instead of grinding out the new stuff if you want to keep the things that you already have.
I approve. Liked. How grindy is the non-grindy upgrade?
It's pretty grindy and it requires dilithium spent to do the things, but these widgets that they gave you during the week were ones that you could use to increase each of your pieces of equipment has a little XP bar and you get some special points that you can put into it by doing some R&D stuff. But also normally you have to spend some dilithium as well, and these ones didn't need that. So that was nice. I managed to upgrade a piece of my Mako set space shield upgraded for essentially free, so that was good. Well received.
Handy.
Yeah, I think today's freebie daily giveaway is the Tier 4 escorts. There was a Defiant-y type spaceship for Federation people, some kind of Klingon thing. He's looking at me now. You'd probably know.
I perked up at the mention of a spaceship, but then I remembered in Star Trek Online. So unless it's from the TV shows, it looks terrible.
No, one of them looks like the Defiant, which I think I remember.
Did they call it the Valiant?
It's the Sao Paulo class.
Okay, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, look, he's approving. Yeah. He's nodding.
No, I'm not approving. I'm just acknowledging they may be roughly in the close.
They got a name right. Yeah, there was a Romulan one for Romulan people and also a Klingon-y type one for Klingon people. There was a lot of grumbling in Earth Space Doc chat, you know, when they could find time to deviate away from the subject of how they would solve ISIS. And they were going on about how it's a crap present because it's a Tier 4 ship and the top end game is Tier 6 or Tier 5
a push.
It's not a ship many people are going to fly, but a lot of people are forgetting that for start, well, one, you it comes with a console, which is the quad heavy cannon console that you can take out and put in an actual ship.
Yeah, that's the thing they always did to make the...
Every ship they give away or that you buy tends to come with a unique console, a universal console you can take out of that ship and put in your favourite ship instead. So there's something for everyone with those. Also, you've got this Admiralty system where you basically are sending ships that you own away on missions. So any ship's good for that, really, because you get another card to put in your little deck to be able to play
I
that.
I keep meaning to have a look at that, but I logged in, couldn't see it immediately, and got overwhelmed by the need to actually do something else.
Yeah, so lazy. Well, if you've played Timelines, the award-winning and hugely successful mobile game that we were dumping on in the previous show, is very similar to that.
Have you played it yet?
No, because we both thought it was rubbish, so I didn't bother. Yeah. You know? so I don't know what, I think there's about one day's worth of freebies left. There's going to be something tomorrow. Everyone's sort of speculating what that might be. There's rumour it might be a T5 ship. I don't know. It could be anything, really. But also there's the big event. The event itself has a new episode called Time and Tide. And this is a hugely spoilerific thing if you haven't done all of the story content up to date so far. It's basically time travel. Yeah, I know. He's giving me that look.
Star Trek.
Not a great theme, generally.
Star Trek did time travel once well.
Yes.
And that
was that when they
years?
Went back to the gangster planet and Spock had to wear a trilby
that
to hide his ears?
Time travel. That was a Federation starship had turned up at a planet and left a book. Yeah.
Anyway. No, I think I know the one, actually. I think it was the original series it was on not so long ago. There was like a US Air Force pilot who ends up seeing the Enterprise.
No, not thinking that one.
No? Okay, fine.
I'm thinking of the one with Joan Collins in.
Oh, right. Okay, I don't really remember that one. Anyway.
It's the famous one that's really
This good. One, we're going, we get...
He has to let her die.
Oh, what a downer. Spoilers as well. Yeah, you get taken into the distant future to attend a peace signing conference where everything is going to go okay. I'm doing the big thumbs up here.
Why are you taken to the distant
I think because you had to help out this 29th century agent of the Temporal Affairs doodad with some problem or something.
Why is it that whenever there's a stupid thing in this game, I know instantly it's going to go back to a plot in Voyager?
Yes, it's the Temporal Affairs lot from 29th century who are basically kind of human Time Lord types from the future who are trying to keep track of all the wibbly wobbly timey wimey and stop it tearing the universe apart and
by
inviting you along for a little conference
by basically breaking the temporal prime directive
everywhere. Absolutely. So you turn up and you talk to all the delegates, and all the delegates of lots of different races are telling you, basically spoiling for you the future of like 400 years of advancement. I know, it turns out that the Klingons and the Romulans and everyone are all part of the Federation in the 29th century, and they're just about to sign up for a big galactic union thing, and it's all going to be peace forever for everyone. One always
no,
brilliant.
It's
not. No, because about 10 minutes into the conference, a vast hologram thing appears and starts kidnapping people and shooting up phasers and stuff, and lots of time ships and things, and the Krenim.
Yes,
is that a word you know?
Yeah.
The Nakul, is that a word you
Nakul,
know?
Nakul.
They're made up of alien race.
I don't know.
Anyway,
I'm not entirely au fait with the episodes of Voyager. I can never bother rewatching because they were awful.
So anyway, us mere 24th century slobs are supposed to go and help these super advanced 29th century people sort this problem out because.
So you turn up in,
with our stone clubs and loincloths.
You turn up with your sailing boat.
Our coracles and rowing boats, yeah.
It's like a really bad game of...
Only you from the past can help us. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a really bad game of Civilization where... You got your mechanized infantry.
Yeah, the horseback riders for the win. Yeah. Oh, so time travel goes as well as you expect. Anyway, these Krenim apparently the new big bad race, because apparently the Iconians have come and gone, and I never saw it because I haven't got that far. I'm still stuck dealing with Vadwar in the Delta Quadrant, but there you go. Anyway, so they got some pretty powerful ships that do all sorts of temporal distortions, which means they project false ones and decoys and stuff, and you have to try and work out which one to shoot properly. And then they got these horrendous cone attacks that absolutely rinse our little team when we went and did this mission. It's all right. I didn't really understand a lot of what was going on, but at the end of it, I got 400 points towards my 1,000-point grind towards a new free spaceship. Having just successfully completed the Christmas grind spaceship, incidentally a ship I've never flown because I got bored of it almost as soon as I claimed the box.
Again.
Yeah, we now have the opportunity to bash out a 6th anniversary Krenim science vessel, which apparently needs 1,000 special 6th anniversary Q marks. They've made it so that you're not allowed to use marks that you've saved over from previous years anymore. You have to get them all in this event now.
That makes sense.
Well, they say it's so that everyone starts from a level playing field in these grind-tacular events, which I suppose is fair. I never had any spare points to chuck into these things anyway, so it doesn't bother me. So to get the other 600 points, you then have to go away and do the Omega Particle Q event. It's always Q. This is why I like the Ryzen Summer event, because Q has nothing to do with that one. Dusty does not. He's not there. He doesn't turn up. He's not. Hey, all you serious Starfleet captains, I'm bored. Come and play some party games. You know, it's like have it. He's become this sort of really embarrassing uncle type figure. Yeah. You know, he sort of turns up at seasonal occasions, and you're not allowed to piss him off in case he uses his godlike powers to exterminate you from existence. But you know, it's obvious he's like a petty child, and you just have to do what he says. I don't know. Sometimes I think perhaps I don't have to do these events, but then, you know, free spaceship. I have issues. But, so, I'm grinding another spaceship.
Yeah, you're never going to use.
I'm definitely not going to use this one. It's a science vessel. I'm very much of the engineering school of disciplines and things in that game. Engineering's where the tanking is, where the sort of big hull heels and resistances and stuff are, and that's what my main officer is and all the rest of it. Science vessel's more about tricksy debuffs and buffs and that sort of thing. It's more suited to a science captain, really, and I don't really have any of those. But it's another spaceship. So, certainly for the Admiralty thing. Well, the Admiralty, I have a lot of trouble because there's a lot of missions that come through that needed a very high science stat, and I've got most of the ships I've picked up in the past have all been engineering-y things, so I have real trouble meeting science stats in this game. So that'll help. And this is only 15 days worth of grind, which is basically a holiday, really, compared to the actual holiday.
They've been really nice to you by only making it 15 days this time.
Yeah, well, there's because you do this time and tide mission, get your first 400 points for free, and you only need 600 marks, and you get 40 a day. The daily task Q sends you to go, and he's basically created a whole load of Omega particles everywhere. Does that ring any bells?
Yeah.
So apparently an Omega particle is a sort of weird super neutron dense thing that it causes warp travel to collapse or something. They make warp travel impossible when they go bang. And since the whole of the Star Trek universe is based on warp travel to get around the place, it would basically plunge the entire universe into a new dark age if these things aren't harvested and dealt with in a very Guitar Hero style mini game that was much like Audio Surf.
I remember Janeway doing exactly that.
Yes, that little mini game there. A little window pops up, these little bubbles come along through four different tracks. You have to move the little thing to catch them on each different track up and down. And you do three of those and you get your 40 points for a day. I hate myself. Kill me now.
Okay.
So, put the sword down. No, bad. Not, that's ornamental. So that's going on. We're all still playing. We got the Saturday group on the go there. We've sort of put Dr. Tarag hasn't been able to make it for a number of weeks, so we put the Lobi Romulans on the side for a while and just playing with our main characters now, which is just quite nice, actually, having access to all the stuff that you've worked hard for, you know, to get. And doing a lot of the Elite Strike Forces as well. We've been trying some of the. So you got this big strike, the big sort of PVEQ window with a list of all the different dungeon type things, which are effectively space or ground instances, which are five player. And you can pick up group your way into those, but you choose which ones you want to queue for. And there are almost no players playing any of them except for perhaps five key ones that give you the most optimum marks for getting your top end stuff. So what we're finding is that a full group of players who don't much care about advancement specifically, we're able to queue for pretty much all of them and see some of the dust off some of these events and these PVEQs that get very little use at all normally. And some of which I've never seen at all anyway, because they've come in past the Delta Quadrant stuff. Some Iconian things I've never seen and never had a go at, and we're in a position where we can do that now because, you know, five players who are not min-maxing the reputation mark grind and doing, you know, just queuing for the same ones every time.
Yeah.
Mind you, I do still keep queuing for Crystalline Catastrophe Advanced as the best source of getting fleet marks for the starbase.
Also, it's so much fun.
It's a face roll. It really is. You start up, there's 10 of you, you fly towards the big crystal, you shoot at it a lot. When it gets to 2/3 of its health, it does a big pulse 10k blast thing. Is easy enough to get away from that. Then you go back in, shoot it some more, and then you come away when it gets to 1/3 health, and then after that you go and you shoot it and you kill it, and it completes within about 5 minutes usually. And then you can do that every half hour. It gives you about 80 fleet marks, you know. It's boring and repetitive, but it's so short that doesn't matter, you know.
Uh-huh.
You can just hit the button and done, you know.
We have differing views on what matters.
Yeah, I suppose I can't explain any of this to you.
No.
I'm broken, I think. I don't think it's Star Trek Online's fault, though. I think I was just broken anyway. I do this stuff in other games sometimes too. Yes, so still enjoying it anyway. Still enjoying it. So it always has been, sort of for a very long time, it's been the sort of complete master of the half-hour a la carte activity. You sort of just string together lots of little task forces or lots of little open world areas, and you can just build up a session of however long you like out of very small activities working on various different little progress bars. Quite satisfying, really. It's not something where you can think, oh God, I've only got an hour, I'm never going to get anything useful done in here. It's all been sort of subdivided up quite neatly. So yeah, six years going. Yeah. I kind of wish I'd got the Lifetime thing now.
I know.
Which is all ironic. I mean, you went and got one and barely play it, and I've played it almost insane amounts and never had a Lifetime.
I do think Lifetimes, even my Lifetime to Lotro, I think was worth it. Because I generally play long enough in these games to get past the cost of the sub.
Yeah, yeah. Typically, it's about roughly a year or so, the Lifetime sort of payback, as it were, if you'd have gone with premium instead. So I'm still playing that. We're still doing the Saturdays.
I keep meaning to have a play of that game.
Yeah.
I do like it. I know that I mock it for the way it's utterly destroying you, but I do quite like the game.
Well, you know, you've got to give something to keep yourself occupied.
It's true.
All right, and tell me about something more wholesome that you've been doing.
Oh, this is not more wholesome.
No.
I'm not entirely sure if this is under NDA, but the worst they can do is ban me from playing the game, so I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Oh, you're in a beta.
Yeah,
hope you're filling out bug reports and creating test cases and working through use cases.
I was in the public preview / stress test for The Division.
The marketing preview event.
The marketing preview, maybe stress test of The Division, which is Ubisoft's new third-person team-based shooter.
Okay.
Which is set in New York when things have all gone a bit wrong and it's all a bit zombie-ish but not quite, and you end up shooting things and solving everything with the general shooting things mechanic.
Right, where's the army in all this? National Guard?
Oh no, you're a specialist team sent in to actually solve the problems.
Okay.
And the problems being solved are generally shooting people.
Not so just some random mercenary with a rifle?
No. It's a very hyped game that people have been looking forward to for a long time, which is always a difficult one, because my initial reaction to that is, well, it's not going to be any good, is it?
Mm.
And if you combine that to the it's an Ubisoft game, my reaction is going to be, it's not very good, is it? So then you combine it with it's an MMO-like third-person shooter, my initial thought is, it's not going to be very good, is it?
So quite stacked against it being any good.
Yeah. So, I gave it a little play.
Yeah.
The game looks good.
Yeah.
In bits. Occasionally it looks really good, and then you'll just look at something and think, that looks really quite bad. The buildings in the background I don't like.
Mm.
They look like they're a couple of years old.
This is supposed to be cutting-edge, contemporary look and feel for the graphics, I suppose.
It's very busy. There's lots of stuff everywhere, and little fiddly bits, which is what happens nowadays, because they can do little fiddly bits. Gone are the days of blockiness. I guess the most important thing about it, of course, is the frame rate. Only kidding, it's the way that it plays.
Mm.
The shooting, yes. Which is a little soft, a little light.
Okay.
It could be a lot better. It's by no means a Destiny-style quality.
Mm. So third-person shooting.
Yeah.
But actual aiming? You don't tap target or anything like that?
Yeah, no, actual aiming-ish, mm-hmm. although... I do question how accurate the actual aiming is and how much it's doing.
Is there leading? Do you lead, or is it keep the... Because a lot of pseudo third-person stuff, FPS stuff, you don't actually do the... You're not really aiming with a physics model. As long as a lot of the ones in the past I've seen, as long as you keep your reticle over the enemy and push the button, it will count.
Yeah,
it will count the attack.
These bullets do not go slow enough to dodge.
Yeah,
but it's never a problem when you're shooting against the AI, because the AI is so dumb it will just run at you.
Okay.
The AI in this game is its biggest problem.
Yeah.
When you're doing the PvE stuff, it's just, I don't know. You'll either die because of weight of numbers or not. There's nothing clever going on. Nothing you see in any other game is going on.
Right. So what? There's not different sorts of enemies with like jumping about sideways or force fields.
Well,
or
they'll move around a bit.
Strange mechanics.
But the AI is just stupid. You can beat them by hiding around a corner and killing them as they come round. repeatedly.
But do you want clever AI for this kind of thing, then? Is this more of a dealing with hordes and hordes of zombies type experience? Well,
it's never hordes. It's always just so many. It doesn't...
So the stupid AI would normally be compensated for by the fact that there's just hundreds and hundreds of them, but that's not what's happening here, I guess.
Yeah, and I can see, after not long, this AI really becoming an issue.
Yeah.
Which leaves just the PvP. And I know for a fact that the PvP is going to become an issue because it's semi-skill-based PvP. And it's got a really slow restart cycle when you get killed.
Oh, that's bad.
So, you know, it's not like in, say, a Halo or a Call of Duty where you're just jumping back in instantly.
Bounce straight up off you.
You die and then you've got to get back to the fight. And it does not feel like they know what they want to be or where they're going with it. It just feels like they've gone wrong.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So the sort of the pacing of it all.
Yeah, the pacing. There's an awful lot of, even in the PvE stuff, there's an awful lot of running around. You got running around like in an MMO.
Yes, large open areas with occasional clumps of creatures here and there.
And that doesn't really fit with a shooter because you're just running around doing stuff. And
then shooters are a much more scripted experience, typically. They are, if not literally, then figuratively, they are just corridors with sport waves coming at you.
Even something like Destiny is faster than it, which is, you know, the closest thing to a shooter MMO we have at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, PlanetSide technically is the closest thing we have.
Well, PlanetSide's a different thing again, really. That's purely PvP, so...
Yeah. I was playing it, and there were moments where I was really, really enjoying it.
Mm.
And then there was the bits between the bits where I was enjoying it, when I was getting really fed up with having to run places.
Yeah.
And then there are the bits against the enemies who are just constant grenade spam. And so it's a cover-based shooter, but you can't go into cover or stay there for more than two seconds because there's grenades coming in.
Grenades are usually they're designed to deal with enemies in cover, yeah.
Because the
enemies throw grenades at you to force you to move, yeah.
I don't know if it came across on Mumble the other night when I was playing and going on about the grenades.
It's quite sweary.
But the grenades were coming in every couple of seconds, and it was really annoying.
So you can't use cover in that kind of situation, which means, what, you have to just run at them with a shotgun and hope for the best?
Yeah, then you die, because I don't like grenades.
So this
is
always a very difficult conversation to have, because a lot of the difficulty of a first-person shooter is down to you and how lobster-clawed you are with the controller, and a lot of it is down to the design of the enemies and the design of the game and the feel of the guns and stuff. And how much of this, if you're really honest with yourself, is you being unfamiliar with a new game system?
A lot of it is, but, you know, there's stuff like the gunplay does not feel good.
Mm.
It feels average.
Well, you certainly played a lot of them, so you'll know what you're talking about.
The guns all feel a bit wimpy. They don't have that.
Is this newbie gear that perhaps explaining that? You've just got the starter pistol or whatever?
Possibly, but...
Are there super-duper weapons that are further in?
It's a constant loot-based system where you're just looting stuff and upgrading.
See, I wonder how that's going to apply to a skill-based element as well, if a lot of it's tied into your gun's stats. Do the gun have accuracy stats?
And you get upgrades you put on it, like you put a new stock on it or sights and stuff.
How long are you expected to carry on through here? Is it 50 levels? Is it the proposition that you're meant to spend months and months playing this?
But that's the other problem I have with it. With what they've given us, it does not feel like the map is big enough, even with the full size of the map they say it is, and there's enough different variety in there to keep it interesting, because it's all the same sort of tasks.
You haven't played Defiance, have you?
I've played it a bit.
It'd be interesting to sort of get a sort of comparison side by side with that, because this looks... just watching a little bit of a video here as we're talking. Certainly graphically better, but then you'd expect that. It's more modern, you know, and this is set in a more dense urban environment rather than more contemporary than sort of weird post-apocalyptic alien terraforming landscape. But the sort of basics, running around over the shoulder with the pistol, dealing with groups of enemies as you appear. And I'm seeing what looks like little public quests appearing. You get to a waypoint on an intersection, and there's a thing you can use on the looks of it. And does that then create a little event on that spot?
There's events all over the shop, they all do stuff like unlock.
So you get a lot of that in Defiance as well. You know, pretty much every 200 or 300 meters along a road, there'll be a little spawn of trucks monsters to kill.
I don't know if they're meant to be public events, because no one was really interacting with people.
Everyone
had gone off to the PvP area and was having fun there.
Oh, right. Interesting. Is the PvE instance at all? Is this an overworld we're seeing here, or is this a little... Just you and five people?
This is it. This is the entire map. I don't know how many players end up on the map.
Well, I'm wondering.
They do, because I've seen them around.
It must have to instance at some point.
Well, yeah, it's going to have to a certain point. But
so what you're saying is everyone's sort of gotten, bored of the PvP already and gone on to the PvP?
But it looks like everyone just went on to the PvP because that's where the best loot is.
Oh, right.
So it's already sending that message that maybe you shouldn't be doing the PvE, you should be doing the PvP.
They're trying to incentivize PvP because ordinarily, all other things being equal, most people don't want PvP. So you need a special reason.
Well, no, with shooters, people do.
But is this that sort of experience? Is this going to attract that sort of crowd? Is this essentially a kind of Call of Duty thing or whatever, Counter-Strike?
I don't know. I don't know.
Team Fortress.
I don't know if the skill-based shooting is there enough. Oh, and it stands out.
Is it going to attract that kind of sort of very high-paced PvP shooter gamer?
And more specifically, is it good enough compared to the other things to pull players away from it?
Well, that was the big problem Planetside had. It was quite revolutionary in a lot of ways, but, you know, competing against Counter-Strike and all the rest of it just couldn't hold up at all, you know, gunplay-wise.
I feel very, very torn about it because it's not a bad game.
Yeah.
It's just not a great game.
Is this going to be and then we'll not hear anything about it after three months?
That's what I worry. I don't think this is going to be the hit that it needs to be in order to be what it wants to be.
I think a lot of interest, I don't know, I can't speak for anyone to be honest, but I'm certainly getting the sense that a lot of the interest in this game is more about basically there because there's just not a lot else going on in the MMO space at the moment. It's a dry time and this is the next one along, isn't it? There's a whole load of Kickstarter maybe stuff happening in a few years, and
yeah, none of that's happening.
Well, you know, some of the smaller ones, some of the more keenly, you know, I think the Camelot Unchained, that sort of thing, they'll happen. But
oh yeah, but that's getting close to actually happening.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that sort of thing, but there's nothing I really don't think in the way of vast, you know, huge expectant AAA MMOs on the table, and perhaps this is taking a lot of interest from people who are just looking for the next thing.
I think it is, and
but those sorts of people are always looking for the next thing again. That's the problem. Yeah.
I think in many ways this is closer to being an MMO than a lot of the other stuff which has been mentioned.
To me, but it looks a lot like Defiance. It's stylistically different, but in terms of basic nuts and bolts,
it does seem to be quite like Defiance. But I think there's less there than in Defiance. There's definitely not as much map.
There's not. I mean, we basically burned out our Defiance mostly because we just went from one end of the map to the other in our little static group and did mostly all of it. Weren't that interested in obviously tacked on faction grinds at the end and then sort of just walked away from it. So I could see a similar kind of experience here. How long are these games meant to last?
Yeah, that's a good question. But I don't get an idea from having played the inverted commas beta that of how long the game is meant to last. What I did get an impression of was how little they'd shown us content-wise, but I don't think they were holding an awful lot of stuff back.
You suspect there's not much more else
there. Yeah, I think that all of the missions shake down to be the same couple of things.
Well, certainly your early experience is going to be this for the first 20, 40 hours or so, I'd have thought. Yeah. Running around a wrecked Manhattan doing presumably what I assume to be the quite early recon and dispatch, courier mission type things.
Yeah, the video you're seeing is all of the first hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily without me swearing over the top of it.
It looks great, though.
It looks okay, yeah. Apart from the odd bit, which doesn't look great. But, yeah, I like it. I could play it. It's just, I don't see it. I don't.
Maybe just take it as it is, you know, see how it goes.
Well, the problem is it's going to be all grindy and to get anywhere. Yeah. And there doesn't seem, from the beta, there isn't much of a plot to keep you interested.
Well, that's it. I mean, what would fascinate me about this, I suppose, is the learning, the lore, the hidden objects that are data recorders or logs or whatever, if they exist in here. You know, slowly uncovering what the hell happened and why, and then perhaps even some kind of living story where we get to start putting it back together, because that's one of the big drivers of a post-apocalyptic.
We know what happened in this. There was a terrorist attack with a virus at Thanksgiving, and by Christmas it's all gone to pot, and New York's mainly been evacuated.
Hmm. Right.
That's it.
That is an easily told story, and you've just done so. Right.
There's no mystery. There's no.
Kind of
real...
feel I don't need to play it now.
I mean, it just feels like it feels like they're missing every trick.
Well, it's the beta effect, isn't it?
I mean, it is.
So let's talk tech, performance-wise.
Terrible, but beta. Can't comment.
Terrible, but beta. Okay. Do you?
By terrible, I mean.
Do
it's
you
playable.
Know when they're launching? Has there been a date? A month. Okay. And in your wide and varied programming and developer experience, and also having played a lot of games, do you think they can get it get the beta, terrible but beta problem solved in a month?
Oh, they get the performance solved, but the amount of systems currently not available in the beta does give me pause for concern.
Okay, what sort of things?
Stuff like, you know, all the crafting's there, the half the perks, well, all the perk system's not there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It does make me wonder whether or not it's not going to get delayed again. Or it's going to launch without things.
It'll probably launch without things. That's generally how this stuff works.
Yeah, but then again, it could be that all they wanted to do was to test the load on their servers, which is a perfectly valid and good thing to do with a beta.
Oh, you're so naive. I thought you were the cynical one.
No,
this is clearly part of the very established lead up to launch. You have very specific dates. We need to have the open beta here. We need to start. You know, we'd get the hype train moving. It can't accelerate.
I do not deny that it is good for hype, but it is also incredibly good for the engineering. Getting a lot of people in on the servers is incredibly useful before day one. Because you find out if it's all gone horribly wrong before people have paid money.
Yeah, but instead what you find is that it all goes horribly wrong 30 days before you launch, and you've got no money or time or resources to completely rewrite the network architecture or buy in a ton more servers than you've already got, you know? I just wonder what's the point of a stress test if you can't then do anything about what you learn. I don't know. Perhaps I'm pessimistic. Perhaps they've got all sorts of contingency.
No, the stress test, with a month to go, a stress test is more than enough time to solve problems and get stuff running and to book more computers on the cloud or whatever they're doing.
Okay. I don't know. It just feels like I'm banging the same old don't do betas drum again, but what's the alternative? Yeah, we have to be a bit pragmatic about it all.
Yeah. Well, people need to stress test games, and how to do it except for get loads of people in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know.
You're not sure?
No, I can't hate it because it's not bad.
But you can't love it because it's not great.
Yeah, it's just average and not big. It feels like, you know, if I came to it in a year's time, I'm sure it would be an awful lot better. I'm just not sure.
Oh, I see they're going with red edge of the screen health bar then.
Of course, yeah.
I want to see hit points. How can I tell?
Hit points.
Oh, right, there it is.
Yes, there's hit points in the middle. There's an orange bar.
Intuitive UI.
Hit points. It's got the usual segmented health bar, which an entire segment will recharge if it doesn't go down to the one below it.
Right.
And then you've got med kits and stuff.
Right,
and
yeah, I see.
My character's got an area healing power, which,
fair enough. Does it have classes? Is that even relevant in this context?
I'm not entirely sure it's relevant in these contexts. Presumably
you're some kind of specialist in a thing. Did you pick a thing at the start,
you pick skills as you go through, and I happen to pick the healing one because I can't remember if there's anything else available. But also, why would you not pick the self heal?
Yeah, I guess you could pick the one that does more damage. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd rather be able to get the self heal. it makes more sense.
Grenade. Yeah.
You're live commenting a video, which
isn't
live commenting
on video that isn't what you're saying.
Isn't synced up to that. Yeah.
I'm going to start talking about the video.
Yeah, I don't know. It didn't make me want to run out and buy it, put it that way, immediately.
But you didn't feel like it was a waste of time downloading the freebie.
No. See, I feel like I got the enjoyment out of the beta.
Oh, dear. That's bad. You're done with it now, are you?
No.
Or will be by the time it launches. Yeah.
I know that playing with other people makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Yeah, but I'm quite suspicious of that. Not the playing with other people, obviously. You know, charging around with your mates on a Friday night or whatever. You know, or with voice chat and heckling the cutscenes as you go. It's a staple of my social life. But I've very much reached to the point where I just don't really care what the game itself is anymore. That's more a commentary on your friends and just sociality in general. I mean, what does the game do to enhance that or not enhance it? You know?
Yeah.
When the choice of game itself doesn't matter, then pretty much anything could work, you know. So you have to sort of take a step away from that and judge the game on its own merits, I think, really, if you're going to judge it at all.
If you were to decide whether or not to play this with your mates or Destiny with your mates, you're going to choose Destiny every time. Unless you only have a PC, then you're not.
Well, it depends on what else your mates have got. Yeah, exactly, what they can run.
In fact, this makes a lot more sense on PC. I really don't get the console releases of this. I don't see them working.
Does this work? Does this seem like a console game to you? How are you playing this? Mouse and keyboard?
Mouse and keyboard, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, no, I don't see this getting any momentum on consoles, really.
It's a tough gig getting a successful MMO-like experience onto a console.
It'll sell because there's nothing coming out at the moment on the consoles, but I don't. It's definitely not going to have a life on the consoles. It may. It will limp on PC, and it'll have a nice, cozy install base which are happily playing it, but nowhere near the sort of numbers that Ubisoft are expecting.
Well, that's true of most MMOs. There'll always be a core
for that is the problem with every MMO. We're going to do Warcraft numbers. No, you're not. Why are you surprised you didn't do Warcraft numbers?
Well, yeah, you should be aiming to pay your costs and earn a little bit of a profit, you know,
getting 12 million people. You're going to get a couple of hundred thousand people. Just accept that.
I suppose a lot of it will depend on its early release schedule as well, what sort of ongoing events and initial patches and content patches
if
and stuff.
If they can keep the content coming constantly, I'm not sure what their plan is on that.
Well, that's expensive, I think.
Yeah.
Never mind all that. What's the time to climbing a tower?
There's no towers to climb.
You didn't climb a tower?
No.
Oh, are you sure this is by Ubisoft?
I climbed to the top of a building and activated a satellite uplink.
Did that enhance your map?
No.
It
sent some virus information back to the CDC.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
It's sort of okay-ish.
Okay, yeah. You're a difficult man to please, aren't you?
I'm a difficult man to please.
Okay. I don't do betas, so I didn't even look at it. But I'm going to talk about Rift instead. We are still playing that on the Friday nights. Yes, and we're definitely there now. We're getting there. Nearly everyone's at max level. I can see some fantastic raiding coming up. I think we've got one non-raid normal dungeon left to do in Nightmare Tide. We had to go at one called Citadel of Insanity, which is... because of some reasons and some plot, which we weren't really paying attention to, the underwater city of Draumheim, which is where all your dreams go to live when you dream them, has been overtaken by the Lord of Nightmares, who is this fantastic scenery-chewing, large ham-type villain who keeps dropping boss fights in front of us as we were going through the city trying to reclaim it as a sort of civil war in the realm of dreams, basically, the nightmares and the dreams fighting it out.
They do.
And then we turn up with our unique brand of diplomacy, which is largely hitting things and being hit in return. Work through there. It's the usual sort of collection of bosses. Some interesting mechanics there. The last one is a fight against the King of Dreams' liver, who's drunk too much of the wrong kind of wine and gone mental. And so basically you have to sort of work your way around, dragging him around this boss fight arena, dragging him into these circles of white light, which are some kind of detox thing. It was all a little bit surreal, and to be honest, now I come to explain it to someone else, I'm not entirely sure it actually happened. Interesting there. We've got a lot of yard trash with dance boss mechanics. That was interesting.
Okay.
Oh, it's just a big monster. Oh, my God, it killed the whole party. What? Right, okay, let's just step back and do the now increasingly familiar post-mortem. Try and read through the combat logs and work out what the hell just happened there, because we're all nattering away and not paying a lot of attention. He does this big sort of ground-based AoE pulse thing that charges up, and when it gets to the top, boom, the whole party dies if you stood in the circle. It's very much a don't stand in the blue glowy thing. And of course, you know, that's not following the ISO-recognised international standard of coloured circles to stand in or not stand in.
Yep.
A blue one, that's positively beneficent. We've seen monsters in there that cast green circles that kill you as well. I know, that's just...
revolutionary.
That's totally wrong. I just no idea how that's... How to react to that, apart from die. So we did. We got through it in the end, though. Good times. We sort of had a bit of a hold on the raid thing there. I think we sort of... our progression, if you can call it that, our guild raid progression, is still stalled on the Triumph of the Storm Queen, which is a level 60 Storm Legion content thing. But we're getting there, and we're getting people... getting people maxed out with the XP and getting the gear sorted out and stuff. We'll be ready for some more goes of that kind of thing. I think the way to get the XP we found and some decent loot is the Intrepid Instant Adventure thing, which is a bit of a phoned-in feature, to be honest, but it's a good way to crash through some XP. You get every day, you get 14 charges of bonus XP for an instant adventure. So you join the Intrepid Instant Adventure queue, which is almost always inside the Hammernail Fortress, and basically you do 14 kill 10 rats type quests, which are interspersed sometimes with big boss fights in a sort of pick-up raid type arrangement, which is... some of it's challenging, but quite difficult to get totally wrong and wipe the whole party with. And that gives out quite a lot of bonus for XP, so we're getting pretty much everyone up to a max level now. It's going to be good. We're getting a few new people as well. And Svaya's been patiently working his way up the levels and reaching the upper 50s now. That's just good. And I think we saw Shelley there join us as well, who seems to log in and is about level 8 and spend most of the time fishing. So, you know, a bit of work to do there, I think.
That just sounds like the perfect way to play.
We did invite her along on a level 60 raid on her first outing on the server, but she declined, so fair enough. Probably needs something you need to work into. I forget how long we've been working at
stuff. It is forever.
It's been quite a large number of weeks. Well, this is the thing. I mean, every so often there's a bit of a, should we be playing something else type, you know, sentiment appears. And we sort of have the big old, the now familiar big old conversation of, well, what other MMO suits the way we want to play as well as or better than Rift? And there's not a lot of answers to that, really. A lot of objectively better MMOs out there still cling on to their outdated and outmoded old rules, like you're only allowed 5 people in a team and you've all got to be within 4 levels of each other and you've got to have one of those, and if you've got like 6 or 7 friends, then they can piss off, and we don't like that. We don't stand for it. So we only really go for MMOs that have extensive and very flexible mentoring systems and some wide variety of group compositions and role switching and all that sort of thing. And yeah, Rift only really at the moment. Perhaps something like this, something like The Division might be suitable. I don't know. What's the group size in there? Did you say? You didn't, did you? Have you grouped with anyone?
I try not to. I think it's 4.
Does it have groups? Does it have levels? Does it have mentoring?
It's got levels. Doubt it's got mentoring. It won't have any of that stuff. It won't have any of the quality of life stuff towards the levels.
They always come in later, that. It's very rarely ever designed in from the word go. They sort of, you know, they'll listen to people whining on forums for 2 years about how they can't play with their friends, and then eventually they'll go, well, our numbers are so low now, we've got nothing to lose. All right, let's start throwing some of these rules that we normally enforce rigidly out. And suddenly the place becomes a much more pleasant experience, and you know, but by then it's too late because everyone's buggered off and is playing Rift or something, so you know, whatever. There was a bit of controversy with Rift. That's a bit of MMO news here.
Is it because you didn't delete the guild?
I don't know. No, they're changing how some of the cash shop stuff works. There's a particular couple of items in there which essentially are unlocks for high-end viability. There's one called Plane Attunement Water, which basically is like a sort of paywall for certain loot that you get for quest rewards and raid tokens and so on. You can only wear it if you've got this particular tick, and to buy the tick you need to spend, I think it's 100,000 void stones, and yeah, I typically earn about 50 void stones for a thing at the top end. So, you know, stupid, insane grind that even I find quite apprehensive. But you could do that with the in-game tokens, or you could buy some gems from the cash shop thing and just pay for those instead. And there's the earring slot as well on the character sheet. You can't wear earrings unless you've paid 100,000 void stones or bought some gems from the cash shop. Anyway, they're getting rid of the void stone way to pay for those now, because apparently high functioning end game overachievers find the grind there ridiculously easy and so are less inclined to try on any money. Then after that, a couple of days after that, there was an announcement they're doing something similar in Trove, a game I'd gotten bored of a long time ago. The cutesy, colourful block jumpy action adventure game there. They had used to be able to buy classes for in-game qubits, which are things you can earn from doing in-game activities, and they're getting rid of that as well now. You've got to go to the cash shop, got to buy the gems.
Of course.
So I can only imagine that an announcement about similar measures in Defiance is forthcoming quite soon.
Are they by any chance running out of money?
I think they're running out of money, yeah. I think they've made such a... Because typically this is the sort of thing people praise them for quite highly. Oh, the Tryon are quite good with the cash shop. There's lots of ways you can get the stuff in there without paying them any money. And, you know, that's widely regarded as a positive thing. lots of people are quite up on that. But then it turns out that that's a reason why no one's actually buying anything or giving them any money. It turns out the honor system probably isn't working very well as a free-to-play paradigm as a way to fund your business. So they're clamping down on it. I imagine we'll see other MMO companies follow suit and start to reduce the amount of ways that you can, because they always say, oh, the cash shop's optional because you can buy these things by other means using in-game whatevers, and Star Trek Online does a lot of that. But you know, if you do it that way, yes, it takes you like 2 years, and when you could just spend £5, but you haven't actually given them £5. So,
but also at that point, they're not taking into account the obsessive nature of MMO players.
Well, I'm quite happy to grind out, but a lot of people will just pay £5 instead because, you know, it's just £5 and instead of 2 years' worth of insanity and you know, opportunity cost and all that. But, yes, I don't know. I think we'll probably see other things happening in other games quite similar as well. The sort of the much lauded alternatives to paying and buying and microtransactions will start to be closed down a lot more, I think. I don't know whether that's just a general economic thing or whether, as many people will be quite pleased to declare, that free-to-play has failed. I don't know. I think if
free-to-play has not failed.
I think if free-to-play has failed, it's only because monthly subs failed quite hard before them, you know. I don't know.
It is not the payment model that is failing
here. I'm not getting... Honestly, so many websites and message boards and things that I peruse, all of them seem at one point or another to degenerate into a massive slanging match about free-to-play versus submodel business models, and I just think, God, gamers, haven't we got anything more joyful to discuss than which is the best or worst way to pay for what we're doing?
No, that's what gaming is.
If you're more excited about, you know, if business models excite you more than the games themselves, I think you're probably in the wrong genre. You've got the wrong.
Or playing the wrong games.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, enough lectern thumping. So yes, we're still playing Rift. And with high hopes for raiding coming forth. But we're taking a bit of a break from the raiding at the moment to crack out the rest of the levels and gear and stuff for people. It's all good.
You started failing.
No, it's not because we had one failure and we ran away. I refuse to believe that's the case. Anyway, over to you. Tell me of some success.
Oh, is it really success?
I'm experimenting with segues. Are you noticing?
I did notice.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to talk about The Witness.
The Witness.
Which is Jonathan Blow's latest game.
Oh.
Braid chap. Next. Yes, the guy who made Braid.
And anything else?
He's been making The Witness ever since Braid.
Okay, right.
This is a puzzle adventure walking game thing.
Right.
Where you're basically on an island and you have to go around and solve lots of puzzles by drawing lines.
Okay.
So you
sounding very abstract and high concept at the moment.
It's got a bazillion puzzles, and that's about it. So basically you get a puzzle which is you have a circle where you start your line and you have to get it to an end point. So you have to solve the maze.
You have to
and
draw a line.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds deceptively simple. I imagine it becomes a bit of a nightmare by about halfway.
Well, different mechanics start coming in.
Okay.
Like you might have to separate all of the black dots from the white dots.
Oh.
Or you might have to do any number of other things or combination of the things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always roughly the same. Some of them are, you have two lines and they're both identically controlled and you have to get them to the edge of two different mazes.
It sounds deceptively simple. But
it is.
It sounds like it's the basis of quite a flexible and interesting mechanic, certainly.
Yeah, but the problem I think the game has...
Yeah.
Is you look at it and that's all you see. You see, oh, it's got that as the puzzles and fine. As
well, that's what we do as gamers. We're a very reductive sort of subgroup, I think. You know, we're very capable. I mean, there's all the Raph Koster's theory of fun and all the rest of it. He explains in great detail about how we look at some fantastic 3D world and we just reduce it down to essentially blocks of function and non-function and then immediately hone in on the thing you need to do to solve it.
Yeah.
All the rest is just fluff.
I think that the way that this game is framed and what's involved in it really makes it a hard sell to say to people, look, there's loads of stuff in this game. It's 100 hours worth of gameplay and people just thinking, what, 100 hours of drawing lines?
Well, that's one puzzle mechanic in an otherwise larger framework, I suppose.
Is no, a narrative it's always or? Drawing lines.
Hmm. Okay.
The puzzles don't seem to ever go away from just drawing lines.
Right. Well, then perhaps the people who say that it's basic and simple and not worth it are probably right then.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
See,
if it's just drawing lines, I mean, you know, pencil and paper, we could do that.
See, I played it for a while now, but had to stop.
Yeah.
Because I was doing the same thing over and over again, and I realised I was just doing the same thing over and over again.
So I suppose... Comparisons to Portal, I suppose, is that sort of long-running puzzle game type thing.
Portal is still infinitely better than this game, but then again, Portal is infinitely better than every other game ever made. So that's not condemning this game by saying that Portal is better than it; it's just saying Portal is that good. But
Portal's more about three-dimensional reasoning and sort of, you know, punching from one place to another,
Working out what you... First of all, it's working out what you've got to do in a puzzle.
Yes.
The problem I had was, you're on an island and you're wandering around the island.
Yeah.
And I have not found any sign of a map.
Okay.
And I don't know where I'm going or what I've missed, but you start finding puzzles which have a mechanic which you don't know yet.
But is that your fault
for
not figuring it out, or is that part of the puzzle itself?
Some areas have bits where they explain mechanics.
Yes.
Which is just a line of puzzles which make the mechanic get further and further in, and that is beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've missed it for some other stuff. But and I suspect I may have.
Perhaps there's an exploration element there. You're not used to the non-linear
Path. Is an exploration element, but it's also going to have to be a memory element as well. And
oh, wow. I can't remember the last game where I had to make a paper map with a pencil
I'm not
paper.
Sure you can make a paper map of it that easily.
Have you become too used to ease of life? Sort of quality of life, inbuilt auto maps and all the rest of it.
I know, it feels really 90s.
Or does this game feel like it should actually have that, and it's the game's fault, not yours?
I came out to this and went straight into Blade Runner.
Right.
Incidentally, in Blade Runner, I'd missed the fact that I had to scan her ankle and get the bit of jewellery.
Wow.
I don't know. It feels like a really old game, and that's good in a way, but this is not a mass-market mainstream game.
Well, I'm not sure Braid was, really, was it?
No, he got successful. I should say that the game does look gorgeous. Mm. It is a lovely island you're wandering around, sort of cartoony grass.
So we sort of halfway between a Dear Esther-type experience and an actual puzzle-type game.
No, we're all of a Dear Esther-type wander around, but with all of a puzzle game on.
Okay.
So you're basically just going around, you see the puzzles come up, and you think, right, can I solve this one? I don't know how this one works. I'm going to have a go. What do I have to do here? Do I have to separate all of the colours or whatever?
Or are you seeing some sort of, is it Metroidvania type of thing going on here?
Ah, you see.
Is it showing you puzzles that you're not supposed to know how to deal with yet, and then that you'll come back to once you've been...
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
It's just when you see an awful lot of them in a row that you can't solve yet,
yeah.
And you think, okay, I have to remiss something, then you can't find where that thing is.
Yeah.
Because the areas where it tells you how to do an individual thing are fine. And I really do not want to be looking up... If I touch a fac on this, I am finished.
It sounds very spoilerific, yeah. Sounds like you could totally ruin it for yourself with your walkthroughs or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be incredibly easy to just screw up and look at a fac.
Mm.
I'm enjoying the game. I like it. I can't recommend it because it's not one of those things that... You know, do you like puzzle games? Yeah, but it's only really a very limited subset of puzzly things. There's only a certain type of spatial reasoning type puzzles of just how do I subdivide this area up?
I was looking at watching some of the video of you playing through some of the puzzle types, and I'm sort of reminded of a lot of freebie mobile phone games.
Yeah.
Where that grid that you're seeing with the puzzles in is just, that's just it, and it just does like 100 of those of increasing complexity. And it seems like he's gone and, I don't know, built that kind of thing, but then added a massive wander around garden to it.
Well,
as well.
See, that's the thing, it does
could
feel...
Could this just have been a mobile game?
It feels like a mobile phone game, but, and this is my big problem with it,
The
game is massive.
Mm.
The game has thousands of puzzles. He says there's 100 hours content in it.
Well, is that a good thing?
I think that is too much for what the game is.
Oh, you're complaining that we're not getting enough game nowadays?
No.
Because the trend has been to shorter and shorter games for the same kind of prices and sometimes higher.
Yeah, this is a 30 quid game, so it's quite expensive for what people think it is when they look at it. If you look at it on the store and you see this is a puzzle type game...
So it's
game,
a difficult sell, but it's possibly
very,
worth it?
It's a very difficult sell, this game. And I don't think that he's done himself any favours by... the direction he's gone in the game. He could have made this so much more mainstream, but it hasn't. And he's already complaining about the lack of sales. And I think that is purely because nobody knows what the game is. Okay,
like a difficult thing to review. Yeah.
The people who read the magazines, the people who watch the YouTube videos, they're going to know. But
they're the sort
most
of people,
people
who follow developer personalities and that sort of thing anyway.
What's up on Steam and just buy it on what they think looks interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is how an awful lot of the other minor developers go and actually make money.
Is this chap an indie guy, did you say? Is this
Jonathan Blow.
Is this an indie game?
Yeah, it's very much an indie game.
Yeah. So there'll be a certain appreciation of that, I think. But
Sort of, but Yeah, but that's only... He's a very famous indie guy, but only the people who know or care about that are going to buy it because of that. Mm. I mean, yeah, okay.
So selling's a normal audience.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's got a audience who are going to be all over this game,
mm-hmm.
But it doesn't hit the mainstream, and that really doesn't feel... It doesn't feel like the game makes any efforts to hit the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that very easily it could have tried to do that and not ruined what the game is.
Basically, it is what it is and doesn't care what anyone else thinks, I suppose, which may or may not be to its advantage. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other... Well, with 100 hours, I have to ask myself seriously, am I going to finish this game? And I know for a fact I'm never going to finish this game.
It's a sort of... So it sounds like the sort of thing I'd love to get my teeth into, but practically speaking, yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure I'd ever get around to doing it all.
I can't put a 7-hour full Saturday session into this game. It's not because, something my brain will let me do.
But then can you put in half-hour sessions for the next year or so, doing a little bit here and there?
I'm not entirely sure I can do that either, because there's too much... remembering stuff. There's too much remembering what all the mechanics are, which isn't written down anywhere. There's a plot which is told in audio logs, which you can't pick up, so you have to visit them. So there's no way to remind yourself what's going on.
You don't collect them.
Yeah. It's all it's all physically based where stuff is. You know, the puzzles are in locations, but you have to remember where they are. The plot's in locations, but you have to remember where it is. And there's no way to tell.
You're going to have to make a map. Yeah.
And I'm not sure I can be asked for that nowadays.
Mm. It's an older style of gaming, yeah. Sort of unintentionally, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the screen there, you've got no HUD, no inventory,
no.
I suppose, nothing.
No,
it's
nothing.
You're just a camera and a viewpoint.
You move around with directions and shift to run, and you click on stuff.
It's almost like a mist
and
type,
I think. You can click anywhere and bring up the puzzle-solving UI.
Yeah.
And it's just, when you do it over a puzzle, does it work?
Oh, right.
So even then, you don't. There's no clues about what you can click on.
Wow. Yeah. So it's a game that expects you to do a lot of discovery for yourself and also writing stuff down, I suppose, which is quite old school.
Yeah, it's very old school. If you like that kind of old school puzzling game, you're going to love this game. Mm. And that's what part of me really loves about it. But
if you don't get on with the basic mechanic, you're going to be really out of luck, because it's 100 hours of that, basically.
Yeah, it's 100 hours.
With a lot of pretty walking between them.
It's 100 hours of moving a line around a grid.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And brute forcing puzzles you can't think out.
So watching some of the video there that you've been playing while we've been talking about it, and being infuriated by your inability to spot obvious tracks.
I know. I can look at that now because I solved it, and I just think, why am I doing that? It was the same with the last one, too.
I couldn't watch you play this. I'd get too cross, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think? Worth it? Yes, but it's hard to explain why? Or... Or no.
I'm glad it exists.
Mm. One of those.
I love the graphical style.
You approve of it.
Yeah. I love the graphical style. I love the running around the island. I love the fact that a puzzle game like this exists now.
Mm.
But I think that it's priced too highly for the customer expectation, which is different than priced too highly for the game. Because I think that the... £30 is probably a more than generous price for the amount of content in here.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that people are going to look at it and think that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And also, I'm really not sure if... I just don't know whether I have the staying power to get all the way through it.
Is there a demo?
No.
That would be really helpful,
I
think.
It really needs
because people need to know if it's the sort of thing they like.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's quite awkward and difficult
to
explain.
That's the problem.
Why.
You're coming in and looking at it blind. You can see videos of people playing it.
Yeah.
But, you're just seeing videos of people solving puzzles, and that doesn't really...
It sounds like the sort of thing you need to have a go at.
Yeah, it doesn't
help
if
you
with
want
whole,
to fully commit. Yeah.
It doesn't help with how frustrating will I find it, because you're only seeing how frustrating they find it. They may be like the video you're watching, a complete numpty playing it, and getting everything really seriously wrong.
Mm.
Or it could be that they are really good at these things and they just breeze through everything.
Yeah.
And that's going to give you a completely different playthrough than if you're having problems.
I think it looks quite interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm thinking mist for some reason.
Yeah, no, it has that certain mist-esqueness.
Mm. Mistosity.
Mystery.
Mystery, there you go.
Yeah. But it's just a really hard sell.
Mm, mm.
You need to watch people play it to enough to be able to appreciate that your mileage may vary.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you...
So subjective.
Yeah, it's really tough. I would hate to be having to review this game.
Then let's not. Let's move on.
So, yeah, that's The Witness. Jonathan Blow's greatest game, latest and greatest game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you might know him best by Indie Game the Movie.
Yes, he was in that.
Yeah, he was.
Mm.
Well, he doesn't particularly come over that well.
No, but he was the least objectionable and messed up of the people we saw. But I think that was because he was being interviewed well after the fact of his own personal nightmare, as opposed to the other chaps on there who were in the middle of it.
He definitely was the grown-up in that group.
The grown-up, yes. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, everyone should go watch that movie as well.
Yeah.
It's good. So, yeah, that's The Witness.
Okay, I'll talk a little bit about Star Trek Online. We're still going.
You've done Star Trek Online.
No, it's Star Trek Online. I always get that and Star Wars mixed up. It gets me murdered quite often at science fiction conventions. I say the wrong thing and then the room just kicks off.
Yeah, it's only the Whovians who beat people up.
Mm, okay. Anyway, the one with Jennifer Hale in, that's all I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So, yes, we're still doing that. We've got our concept trooper guild group thing.
Yeah, we do.
Romping around Nar Shaddaa, Coruscant, and or other city planet. Lobbing a lot of grenades at people. I don't know. Were you paying attention with the story stuff?
God, no. I've given up on that story because it is so boring. Well, it is by the numbers, should we say.
Yeah, I think it fits its genre very well. Yeah, so we were chasing some defectors around Nar Shaddaa in pursuit of a stolen battle droid that had been programmed to not be on the good side anymore. We were trying to basically go to various different factories and warehouses and lots of things with grenades. And yeah, you know, I try and pay attention to the story in these games. I mean, it's a big driver for me, big motivator. But yeah, it's just I have trouble following it, trouble paying attention and caring. So, and which is really bad because that's its big thing. It's its fourth pillar.
Apparently, every other class has a better story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did we accidentally pick the worst one?
Yeah. Apparently.
Okay. Yeah. Oh well. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying some more dungeon stuff. I think that's where we want you to need to do. I mean, yeah, well, certainly we do the story for XP because they give you tons of XP for doing the story, which then allows you to get all the skills and upgrades and equipment to be able to tackle the flashpoints, strike force, whatever they call them there.
Yeah.
Properly. That's the theory anyway. So I see us, you know, romping through the story with a fair almost derisory lack of attention and then going off and doing dungeons lots, which I think is going to be the plan there. We did one where when you weren't here, I remember. I'm not sure if I talk about it. One called Athys, which is a Sith ruin, which was really hard work. Yes, I'm sure it would have gone much better if you were there
to help us.
As it turned out, Eric Jordan, who is like your number one sidekick bloke you get very early on, we ended up in a boss fight where I was dead, Malty was dead, Teppo was charging around trying to keep Eric alive, and Eric was tanking and DPSing this giant dog monster thing with not much obvious difficulty, to be honest. So I think at least two of us have been outperformed by the NPC companion.
It happens.
Yeah, but that won't be a problem when you're back, because we won't be allowed to bring Eric then, and we'll have to do it on our own initiative. So I'm looking forward to dragging you through there. I think you'll find it informative and an experience. But yeah, we're still going. Not really much else to say about that, really, unless you got anything to add.
What I will say is I remember why I hate MMO combat. It's made even worse by this group.
Yeah.
Because all we have to do is spam grenades.
Saturation, mortar volley.
It's made the most boring type of combat in ever devised for any games even more boring.
I thought you'd like the lack of having to think about what buttons to press and know what they all do. You're never satisfied. Very difficult.
My favourite bit is when we do the area effect grenade volley and it's going on for about 10-15 seconds after the fight ends.
That's because I'm a bit slow and I don't realise that's what we're doing until it's well into dead, and then I sort of launch my mortars as well because I don't want to feel left out. So, yes, still playing though. I don't see any particular urge to give up. It's a light-hearted, enjoyable romp that you really don't have to think about too much at all.
Yeah.
But perhaps that will change when we're doing more of the dungeon stuff. We'll
don't see. Worry, if there was a reason to give up, I would have given up.
it's almost like the path of least resistance is to just keep playing, isn't it?
Is,
it yeah. is, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. All right, so yeah, that's me done then, really. Yeah, that's all my MMOs.
Yes.
Playing a lot of Minecraft Regrowth, but talk about that another time.
Oddly enough, there's a place they can go to find out all about it.
Yes, that. If
I see what you mean.
If that interests you.
You have been working on these, haven't you?
Something like that, anyway.
Our Regrowth series of Minecraft is going on apace.
Got a bit mad
seeds,
in there.
We did a bit of Botania.
Yep.
Yeah.
Enormous marble staircase.
That's not in it yet.
It's not there yet. Okay.
No, stop spoiling. Spoilers. Stop spoiling the fact that we've recorded many weeks ahead of time. Because we can't stop. It's very good, isn't it?
I enjoy that a lot, yeah.
Anyway.
I've given up on my single player thing, mostly because of the bollocking about upgrading and downgrading mod pack versions to stay synced with the one we record our one on, which is different to the
That's
one I
have. That's Java's fault.
I gave up in the end.
The server we're on isn't running the latest version of
Java.
Yeah,
I thought I'll just channel all my building impulses into the one on the show.
Client, you know.
Yeah, but they want me to give them an email address and then they'll have my soul, you know? They names will. Are power.
You can make up an email address.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, use one of the
That would be lying,
ones.
Though. No one lies on the internet. It's against the law.
It's true. It is.
Mm. Anyway,
yep,
do so your spiel.
You can go along to hannahmurdertime.com where you can find this and all our previous shows. And you can also find our Minecraft adventures.
Hooray.
And you can also find our Portal adventures.
Is that still going?
Apparently. I'm going to keep showing them until people stop watching.
I hope they get there soon.
Actually, we've only got a couple of weeks left. Yes, hey. So I managed to put out 5 videos in 5 days last week.
Wow, are you all right?
No.
You look a bit edgy.
I can understand why being a full-time Minecrafter is hard.
Mm.
Yeah.
Full-time Minecraft celebrity.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yes, and you can also go along to our YouTube channel and catch all of our video shows. Give us a like, give us a subscribe, tell a friend even. That's actually the most useful thing
tell
you can
do. Tell a friend.
Tell a friend if you like us. Or if you don't like us, don't tell a friend. Cause
tell an enemy.
Tell an enemy, yes.
It works too.
It does.
Cool. Well, with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.